Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And hi, guys. It's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
In New York, which is now snow-covered here in December as we get towards the holidays. And we're doing a best-of episode this week, the best of 2017. So, best of the charts, and some of the best guests that we had throughout the year here on the podcast. So we're going to flash back over some of the highlights of the charts in 2017, chart headlines. We're also going to count down the entire Hot 100 of the year, from number 100 to number one. That's coming up at the end of the podcast. Year-end charts are now on billboard.com, so you can scroll through all the different charts overall, Hot 100, Billboard 200, different genres. So all up now on billboard.com this week. And as usual, we will look at this week's Hot 100 top 10, new number one this week, so we'll talk about that. And a couple of our favorites as well. We'll share our favorites for 2017. So let's get into this week's top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100 from number 10 to number 1.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number 10. Number 9.
Dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss, you a worker, bitch. I make bloody move. Now she say she gon' do what a who.
Christ. Number 8.
I'm bad in love. Ooh, ooh. But you can't blame me for trying. You know I be lying, saying glory the one. Ooh, ooh.
Number 7.
No limit, I'm a fucking soldier. Ay. Always lit, yeah, I'm never sober. It's for 3 days in a row, y'all bitch coming over. Told that bitch to kick rock, she act like it's a boulder. Hey, Rory.
Number 6.
I'm way too good at goodbye.
I'm way too good at goodbye.
I'm way too good at goodbye.
Number 5.
Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder.
Number 4.
Gucci gang, 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 Gucci gang. Spent the race on new chain. My bitch love do cocaine. Ooh, I fuck a bitch, I forgot name. Yeah, I can't buy no bin away the rain.
Number 3.
I was getting moolah, baby.
Number 2.
Poppin' pillies, man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. Fucking with me, call up.
And number 1.
Dancing in the dark with you between my arms. Barefoot on the grass while listening to.
And for a ninth week in a what? Whoa! That's not Rockstar at number one. What is going on? We have a new number one hit on the Hot 100 this week. That is indeed, as you just heard, Ed Sheeran's Perfect. Now in its new and improved form, some could say, with Beyonce, an official duet with Beyonce. So yes, Ed Sheeran, number one this week, knocking out, at least for the moment, Post Malone's Rockstar featuring 21 Savage after 8 weeks on top. Ed Sheeran, a couple things with this kind of fun. As you guys will remember, Ed Sheeran really started off the first quarter of the year very strongly. Shape of You being a number one hit for 12 weeks at the top of the year. Now sort of bookending his year perfectly with another number one. Becomes the only lead artist in 2017 to have two number one hits on the Hot 100. So something that was so common, you know, in days before, becoming much more rare now. With Shape of You and Perfect, Ed Sheeran's Divide actually is the first album to have multiple number one hits on the Hot 100 since Justin Bieber's Purpose spun off three back in 2015-16. And speaking of Beyonce, of course, she is also back in the number one spot this week on the Hot 100. And it has been a while, something that I know the Beehive is loyal and they're always dedicated and believing, but you know, I think a lot of pop observers started to think that maybe Beyonce's time at the top of the singles chart was kind of over. She focused more, you know, on cohesive albums and visual projects and, you know, really has rescinded her media interviews and those kind of things that you kind of need week by week to get a song to number one. But she's, per usual, found a new path and trailblazed a sort of a new way up there. And Beyonce being number one this week on the Hot 100 for the first time since the song Single Ladies back in 2008 and 2009. So we're talking really just about 9 years, give or take a couple of weeks, since we saw Beyonce hit number one on the Hot 100 with a new song.
I kind of look at it in sports terms, because a lot of times the charts are kind of similar to following sports. And you know, as much as a lot of times we get hung up on most number ones or mosts in any category, span of number ones is really telling about a career overall and longevity, kind of like how I equate it to the Patriots won their first three Super Bowls in a very quick span in the early 2000s, but then they didn't win another one until the last couple of years. Now they've won two out of the last three, but you had that span in the middle where it kind of seemed like if you don't win at all, you kind of wonder, did they just have a quick peak for a little bit? And to come back years later and be number one, whether it's on the charts or in sports, kind of shows that, for over a decade, you were able to do that. Now Beyonce has done that. She was so huge, number one in the 90s with Destiny's Child, number one in the 2000s several times, both solo and with Destiny's Child. And now, 2017, she's number one again. That's given you almost 20 years of she knows how to get to number one.
And one more sort of longevity stat to go off of that. We mentioned a little earlier that Beyonce, the last time she was number one, was with the song Single Ladies. That was in December 2008 when that kicked off. Just a few months before that, we had seen another longevity streak end. They're kind of tied together. So Beyonce having gone just under 9 years between number one hits, the last female lead artist to do a longer span than that was Britney Spears, whose right. Womanizer was number one in October 2008, which was her first time at the top since Baby One More Time. So Britney, of course, had hits off the debut album. She had another top 10. Oops, I Did It Again was top 10. But then, I mean, I guess as part of a larger cultural shift, you know, it was sort of the time of when sales hit rock bottom and airplay became such a bigger thing. And then she kind of got swept off in that wave of, you know, in the mid 2000s when hip hop and R&B really took over the airwaves, you know, really hard to get sort of a mass appeal traction behind a lot of those pop songs. Then of course Britney had plenty of personal struggles in that 2004-2007 range, and
she was so young when she debuted, so you know all that time away she was just entering her 20s, so there's just personal growth was a part of it too.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, we saw, you know, very public breakups, and when you're the biggest pop star in the world, as Britney, you know, certainly was, I mean, that pressure can be crazy, and we saw, you know, how it took a toll on her, really. And then, you know, I'll say this honestly, when Womanizer came out and she bounced back to number one, I mean, to me, that's probably the most impressive part of that whole Britney Spears saga. Everybody, I mean, you know, I know people out there now in hindsight will swear it's not true. I think everybody thought Britney Spears was done. There's no way you can, you know, be back on top the way you were before. And between, you know, that 1 year cycle between that VMA's performance of Gimme More, where everyone was really thought, you know, this is rock bottom, this is her career on suicide, you know, on national television. Then to come back the next year looking, you know, as great as she did, with music that sounded as good as she did, that was received as well as it did, you know, that just goes to show that people are always rooting for Britney Spears out there. But when they finally got the right kind of material, I think, you know, it made a point. But of course, besides, you know, there's a great Britney Beyonce tie-in for a lot of the two of the strongest fandoms out there.
And what's the biggest difference to you between the Ed solo version of Perfect and the new duet version? It's the British way of saying the line or the word grass. Ed Sheeran says it very Britishly.
Grass.
Beyonce just says grass. Look at him.
Grass. She
doesn't have Southern that same. Yeah, doesn't have that same.
Grass.
Charm.
Okay. Grass. Yeah. See, Gary be, you know, listening to these songs, just pinpointing them down to the very, you know, syllabic pronunciation.
Well, it's always said how British acts sing in without a British accent. You'll hear them in an interview and they sound all British, and then they sing and you don't hear it. So it's
certainly
kind of
Adele. Yeah, falls in that camp.
So it's kind of interesting when you actually hear Ed Sheeran sing with that kind of an accent, and then obviously Beyonce doesn't.
I like it. We'll throw out one last fun fact for duet fans out there. First time in the entire 2010s decade, we have a duet sitting at number one. Duets, which, you know, used to be such a staple of pop music, took a long time. The last time we had a duet was 2009 with Beyonce's husband, Jay-Z, and Alicia Keys doing Empire State of Mind. And duet, of course, in this case means equal build male and female artist.
Right.
We know Jay-Z doesn't sing, so some people will say, well, how can it be a duet if he doesn't sing? That's our definition of duet for the day.
All right. Speaking of duets, Ed Sheeran, how about another duet partner, Billboard's own Kevin Kenny for Billboard News and our Facebook Live Top 10 Countdown. Kevin was talking to Ed. He was in town for iHeart Radio Z100's Jingle Ball, talking about Perfect going to number one. Here's just a quick clip of Ed Sheeran talking about that.
The song you have, Perfect. Now, you know how this game works. We can't call it till it's over. It's like baseball or sports or whatever. But it's looking like you're going to have the number one song in America, Perfect, the duet with Beyonce. How's that feel?
I mean, really fucking cool, to be honest. Like, to, as I said, the year, like, I started the year with my first ever Hot 100 number one with Shape, and I'm ending the year with my second ever Hot 100 number one. And I think it's like, especially now in like these streaming times, it's so, and albums basically go up and down so quickly, and it's so hard to have campaigns nowadays. So to be able to have an album that came out in March and it's still top 10 and still having a hit single like Perfect is like, I mean, I just have to kind of give it up for Atlantic Records. I mean, they're very, like, very, very, very good at their jobs.
Congratulations on a successful year.
Thank you.
Ed Sheeran with Billboard's Kevin Kenny talking about going to number one. So we're talking about this week's charts on the Hot 100. We're talking about the year's charts as well for 2017, now that all our year-end charts are up. So Ed Sheeran works out great. He's number one on the Hot 100 this week. He's the number one artist of the year overall for 2017. In Shape of You is the Hot 100 number one song of the year. So that's actually pretty rare for a male artist to be number one artist of the year and have the top Hot 100 song of the year. First male to do that since Usher back in 2004. So it's been 13 years. Adele had done that in 2011, last person overall. But we're talking about someone who was just so big from the song. Also, the album Divide as the number four album of the year. So just a total year-end domination. Actually, it was Ed, Adele, 2011, Usher, 2004. Three other acts have had the number one artist ranking of the year and the number one Hot 100 song of the year, going back to 1981 when the artist ranking started. 50 Cent in 2003, Ace of Base, 1994, The Sign, some of the other hits they had, and George Michael, 1988, Faith, the album, Faith, the single. So pretty rare company for Ed Sheeran to be in, but doesn't feel that surprising at the end of the year for how big he's been throughout 2017.
One of my friends had a great tweet, I thought, this year when she was saying, you know, if you go to the grocery store and you don't hear Ed Sheeran, Shape of You, do your groceries actually even count? Like, are you living in real life if you don't hear that song in the store? And yeah, it's one of those things where you just, you know, it was sort of inescapable hit that was just, it hit one of those centers where it was like I said, you know, good enough for the grocery store, but good enough for top 40 radio, but good enough for, you know, actual people to seek out and listen to, good enough for background music, foreground music. So, you know, it really was one of those ubiquitous hits that just came together in the right moment. And as we can see, you know, I mean, literally the song that you heard all year.
12 weeks at number one, 33 weeks in the top 10 on the Hot 100. That's a record all time. So it's that longevity that helped it be number one. And also the fact that it came out early in the year. It was on the chart throughout the year. It's still in the top 25 now. Here we are in December. The song's in its 48th week on the Hot 100, and it's just continuing to be so huge. So number one song of the year for Ed Sheeran. Here's a cool stat, too, that I really like. We talked about some of these other artists who've had the number one song and been number one artist of the year. Ed Sheeran did something this year no one else has ever done in the Hot 100's entire history. Right, going back to 1958, he co-wrote this year's number one song of the year, his own Shape of You. He also co-wrote last year's number one song of the year, Love Yourself, performed by Justin Bieber. No one else ever has co-written or written the number one song of the year in back-to-back years. So never mind Ed Sheeran, the artist. Ed Sheeran, the writer, did something that's never been done before.
Just goes to show he's a man of many, many talents.
All right. So we had John McMahon, a VP promotion for Atlantic Records, on a couple times this year. And we asked him if he thought, or the label Atlantic Records thought, the song would be as big as it was. Obviously, Ed Sheeran's a huge name, but he'd been away personally for a little bit. He took some time off, came back.
And the dreaded social media hiatus.
Right.
You never know how that's going to play.
It obviously worked out great. Here's what John told us on the podcast.
Everyone felt that was going to be a monster hit. A monster hit. Everyone that we, you know, we rolled it out on January 6th. And, you know, being that we had just got back into the office on, I think, January 3rd, it wasn't like we had time to go out and play it for people and set it up. It was one of those, here we go. You hit play, hit go, and go. And it went on every station right out of the gate, across the board, and instantly reacted. You know, he was off social media. He was off the grid for a year. Remember, right. He just totally unplugged. And when he came back, his fans were dying to have new music from Ed. And then he made a magic song. But Ed is just one of the greatest artists ever on Atlantic Records.
John McMahon from Atlantic Records on the Billboard Chartbeat podcast, talking about all the success for Ed Sheeran, Atlantic Records, this year, back on the podcast a little while ago. So number one, Ed Sheeran, Hot 100 for the year with Shape of You. It beats out Despacito at number two. So kind of interesting how it works out. Despacito tied the record for most weeks at number one ever on the Hot 100. 16 weeks, tied One Sweet Day, Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men, 1995-96. And the way it just happens to work out, Despacito is the number two song of the year. One Sweet Day was the number two song of the year for 1996. So the two songs that have the record for most weeks at number one on the weekly Hot 100 weren't even the number one song of their respective years. So Despacito is number two behind Shape of You. Macarena was number one for 1996 by Los Del Rio over One Sweet Day. And kind of that interesting tie-in of how this Latin hit is number two this year, but it was actually a Latin hit for 1996. So the whole kind of tie-in. Again, longevity is what plays into it. Back then in 96, it was a longer chart run for Macarena. That's what helped push it over One Sweet Day. This year, same kind of thing. Ed Sheeran was just a little bit bigger, a little bit higher on the chart longevity than Despacito.
And earlier this year, we actually had one of the architects behind the Bayside Boys mix, which was the version that took it from a Latin hit into a U.S. and global phenomenon, Jammin' Johnny Caride, a DJ down in Miami, here to talk with us. When we were talking to him, then we spoke in particular, of course, about Macarena on its anniversary. And as Despacito was really hot this summer, talking about the competition kind of between the songs at the top of the charts, which would go on to be sort of the bigger Latin-based hit. And he was actually very, very friendly with that. He's very excited to see another Latin song doing, you know, so well and really getting into these historic markers. And here he is to remind us in particular about what it was like this summer when we were watching Macarena and Despacito duel it out for that top honor.
I got to interview Daddy Yankee, and I told him, I said, listen, I hope you guys do well, but don't break my record. And he looked at me, and he goes, I was the one of the third that did that, you know, that song. And he's like, wow. He was in shock. And it's just amazing how we got together and we talked about that, and look where it's at now with Despacito. It just keeps on doing well.
Yeah, we've been talking about that, how it looks like it could be getting close to the record, the 16-week, the 14 weeks of Macarena, but the 16 weeks for One Sweet Day. So it's kind of funny that the two of you were talking about that, and it could be head-to-head competition coming up pretty soon.
Definitely.
You'll be okay if it does pass it? Would you gracefully pass the baton if that does happen?
Daddy Yankee got to come back and rub it in your face?
I think that we all have to accept the fact that records are meant to be broken, and the fact that we were up there as long as we were, literally 21 years, you know, so records are meant to be broken. And if it's somebody that, like a Daddy Yankee and Luis Fonsi and the whole crew that put that song together, which I happen to know them all, they're good people. So I'm honored that it was them that broke it.
All right. Again, Jim and Johnny Caride down in Miami. I guess we'll have to see, you know, where Despacito kind of lands on the all-time list.
34 weeks at number one, Sam Hunt, Body Like a Back Road. It's the number 8 song of the year on the Hot 100, record-setting run on the Hot Country Songs chart. 34 weeks at number one, blasted past the previous record, Cruise, for Florida Georgia Line, 24 weeks in 2012 and 2013. So I'm looking at Sam Hunt being in the year-end Hot 100 top 10. When was the last time there was a song by a male country artist in the year-end Hot 100 top 10? So a little searching. Last time there was even a country song at all in the top 10 for the year-end was 2013 Cruise. It was number 9 for the year. So Body Like a Back Road finishes a notch higher. So at that point, what's the last higher year-end song by a country male? Look back. So 2010, before Cruise, we had Need You Now, Lady Antebellum, was number 2 for the year, but that's a group, female and male lead vocals. 2009, Taylor Swift, when she was still originally country, Love Story, was number 5 for the year. 2007, another female artist, Carrie Underwood, Before He Cheats, was number 6. If we go back to 2000, Faith Hill, Breathe, was actually the number 1 song of the year. It was a number 2 Hot 100 hit. Again, longevity. It had such a long run high on the Hot 100 that actually a number 2 song peaking. It was actually the number 1 song of the year. So Another Woman was number 1 for 2000. Also, Lone Star Country Group was number 8 that year. Go back to the 90s, 1998. Two country songs in the top 10 for 1998. Both women. Shania Twain, You're Still the One, was number 3. Leanne Rimes' How Do I Live was number 5. And that song was so big for parts of 2 years. It was number 5 for 1998. It had been number 7 for 1997. So that's how big How Do I Live was.
Have we still not answered this question?
We still haven't. No, so we're going to go back further. The last time until Sam Hunt this year that a male artist, a solo male, was in the year-end Hot 100 Top 10 country solo male, Kenny Rogers, Lady, 1981, 36 years ago.
Lady, I'm your knight in shining armor, and I love you. You have made me what I am, and I am yours.
A Lionel Richie pinned Lady.
Right. And kind of a tie-in that
wow.
The pop crossover, so Lionel Richie writing a hit for country, bringing his pop R&B sensibility. This year, Sam Hunt, Body Like a Back Road, huge pop hit, adult hit. Same kind of thing. Obviously, if you're going to be that big, it's going to be a crossover. So, yeah, in 1992, Billy Ray Cyrus, Achy Breaky Heart, was kind of close to the top 10, but it finished just outside the top 10. So for a long time, women, even though nowadays we've talked a lot about how women just aren't breaking through at country, for many years, those were the biggest hits. Taylor Swift, Carrie Underwood, Faith Hill, Shania, some of those acts. But it's been a long time since a male in country did what Sam Hunt did this year.
Well, it seems like there's been a lot of what male stars around in just in country and just some of the biggest names we know, whether it's, since Kenny's time, I mean, there's been Garth and there's been Tim McGraw and there's been Kenny Chesney and Toby Keith and all these kind of guys.
George Strait all through the years.
Old George hanging on as well. It was funny that, yeah, the women cross over easier than the men, but I guess in a sense, but in the realm, it's still maybe like the men who are bigger in the country world, but the women cross over better.
Yeah.
But I mean, wow, since, 36 years, that is, I didn't think it would be that far.
So how did the song become such a big hit? What was behind it sonically? couple of our favorite guests who we have on from time to time, and they'll be back again in the new year on the podcast. Hit Songs Deconstructed, the team of Dave and Yael Penn, they break down the songwriting, the production behind hits in the Hot 100's top 10 like nobody else. So when Body Like a Back Road was huge, we had them on the podcast in July. Here's Dave Penn talking about what he saw in breaking down the song analytically of why the song became so big and now is a year-end top 10 Hot 100 hit.
So that's what it's really all about, you know, and not just with hooks, but hit songs in general. It's about reinforcing key aspects of a song in the listener's head without them becoming overly monotonous in the process. And that's what Body Like a Back Road does so well. It's very memorable, but it's not overly redundant.
It's kind of what you mentioned last time you were here about Ed Sheeran, how it kind of takes all the main hooks, throws them out there at the end, and that's what you're left with, that impact.
The hook fest.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the other
it's all
thing,
about the hook fest.
And the other thing that hits me, Dave, is how I feel like we mentioned so much pop and hip-hop. We're talking about this song, and it's, you know, we were saying it's a record-setting country number one hit. I feel like the country element really comes in from some of the lyrics, right? You know, Back Road, Boondocks.
Absolutely.
Like, that's kind of what keeps it country, because the rest of it, not a whole lot of traditional country.
Well, and his vocal has a little bit of a southern drawl to it, but also definitely, you know, like R&B influences,
right,
as well. And then you got the pedal steel and all those other influences that provide the country kind of embellishments.
Dave Penn on the Billboard Chartbeat podcast from July, talking about Body Like a Back Road. So just a few of our guests through the year we heard here on the podcast. That's what this podcast is about, talking to a lot of times the people, maybe behind the scenes, but who help make songs hits, like record executives, program directors, songwriters, producers, and analysts like Dave and Yael Penn. So looking at why, what's on the charts, they do that so great. So they'll be back on the podcast coming up. So that's a little snapshot of the Hot 100 this year, the most successful songs. So I guess it's fair. We don't want to be negative, but it's also fair, which we're looking at everything that happened this year. On the other side, there were some acts who maybe we thought would have a chance to be way up high on the year-end Hot 100 Top 10, some of the other charts, and maybe based on their prior success, fell short of that in 2017. I guess it's fair to at least mention that, right, Trevor? This is the shady part of the podcast.
No, there's no shade. Well, there's no shade at all. But I think in particular, you know, this is one of those things that I think is a great example of the idea that music is a moving target. I mean, what was hot last year is not necessarily going to be hot this year, and what was hot this year will not necessarily be hot next year. And I think for some of those people who take a few years between albums to develop, I mean, the sound moves on, and then you find yourself kind of caught behind the times. I mean, with Latin music in particular, we saw Despacito, Mi Gente, even songs that aren't particularly Spanish driven, but Spanish influenced, Havana. So that seems to be the music of the moment. I mean, just what, if even a year ago, 16 months ago, 18 months ago, we were all talking about Trap House,
right?
How Trap House, I mean, imagine if someone came up with a Trap House song today, it probably wouldn't do quite as well. It probably wouldn't mesh in the same kind of, whether it's, you know, the sort of low key down tempo hip hop or this Latin fusion, maybe a Trap House record would get a little bit lost.
Yeah,
when 18 months ago it would have been a surefire hit.
Right, it just probably been played out at this point.
Yeah, and so I mean, I think to that point, yeah, there are definitely a few artists I think who found themselves kind of in that mix. In particular, I think as pop moved on, I mean, kind of the same sort of sonic pure pop of 2014, 2015 was not the sound of 2017. I mean, probably the biggest example of a pop misfire this year, I would say, with the Katy Perry album. None of the singles. I mean, we had Chain of the Rhythm was a top 10 hit when it came out.
Right.
Didn't quite have the same legs as per previous singles. She'd always had the lead single from her album go to number one. So this one stalling at number four was maybe a little bit of a bellwether. And then with Bon Appetit, Swish Swish, none of those quite catching on, you know, the way I think that people would have hoped.
Yeah. And, you know, I think part of Chain to the Rhythm is, you know, it was pretty obvious. It was politically minded.
For sure.
And you know, coming out when, for a lot of people, it was very fresh if their side lost the election. I'm not sure If people,
well, of course, Katie being one of right, those vocal say, supporters of
people
Clinton.
On that side, you know, maybe didn't want to relive what happened, and kind of a dark sound. So maybe it was just sort of a reminder of what happened, and you know, probably didn't help it.
No. And then, I mean, it seemed like again with Swish and some of these Taylor Swift things that have been, you know, generating for a while. I mean, Taylor got the same kind of blowback with her lead single. Was just that, maybe, you know, this stuff feels so old. Like it's we've seen this play out for the past couple of years in the media. We need something new.
I think it's fairly obvious that the songs just weren't on the same level, these Katy Perry singles, as some of her prior hits. I think she just didn't live up to the very high standards song quality wise that she put out before.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's never a knock. You know, I always really do appreciate better when somebody tries something different, a different lane. You know, there's nothing sort of worse than you doing album 1 and album 1.0 and album 2.0 and album 9.0. So I do give her the props, but of course you do wonder sort of how this rejiggers the conversation for her next album going forward, whenever that may be, and how to respond to that. Kind of in that same camp, I think Lorde a little bit kind of caught people by surprise, I guess, with interesting that the album has been received critically, hugely, you know, well response. Up for album of the year at the Grammys in just a few weeks out of here. Greenlight, though, I think people were maybe pinning bigger expectations on the song. Maybe a little unfair. People thought maybe she was in this superstar echelon.
Well,
she
debuted with a 9-week number one in Royals. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's very, I mean, anything, you know, from that is going to be hard to measure up to. But I think the critical, hopefully, will deem this album in the long run than maybe people had bigger commercial expectations for.
You know, that's my biggest mystery miss of the year, of why Greenlight wasn't a hit. When I first heard that, it's a great hook.
Great song.
It's up-tempo. It's fun. I think throughout the year, I was surprised the most of any song this year that didn't become a huge lasting hit. That one, I would have expected to be maybe even a number one hit.
Yeah, maybe people, do they want Moody Lorde? But it's odd because the album's getting such a good, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a weird one.
What's weird, too, is alternative radio. It was a top 10 hit at alternative, but pop radio didn't do a lot with it. And you would think alternative would want something a little darker, but yeah. So this is just kind of...
Well, I mean, I felt like it was tailor-made for a pop. I mean, this was, you know, Jack Antonoff, you know, behind the scenes and kind of...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Kind of interesting how that one's played out.
We've said before, too, that in some ways maybe Jack Antonoff is a little bit more critically acclaimed than chart-wise success. So it could be some of that.
Could be. Could be.
If we mention Katy Perry, I feel like, to be very 2009, 2010, we got to talk about Lady Gaga. So at the end of 2016, the Joanne album came out, and you know, Perfect Illusion it was a top 15 Hot 100 hit, but didn't have a long life at radio or on a lot of charts. So, that was kind of in that misfire category for 2016. But talking about the Patriots again, they helped give Gaga success. Million Reasons, she performed at the Super Bowl, gave some good luck to the Patriots, had the comeback right after that. And she had her own comeback with Million Reasons going to number 4. On the Hot 100, kind of revived that whole album, and that took what was kind of a misfire, turned into a pretty big hit.
Yeah, and the Joanne album, I mean, again, it wasn't necessarily, I guess, designed to be a hit machine in the same way that maybe The Fame or Born This Way kind of had a little more commercial anticipation and delivery behind it. But I know people were obviously really expecting that. I mean, Gaga, for the past couple of years, had really set that up hugely with the Oscars performance, singing the Star Spangled Banner the year before at the Super Bowl. So there was a lot of, you know, a revived interest in her in a way that hadn't been before, winning the Golden Globe on top of that as well. Again, one of those albums I think was hugely personal for her and very important in terms of her personal development. Again, it's one of those ones I'm really interested to see where you go from that, because I think, like I said, this was kind of a cathartic thing for her to name it after, you know, that's her middle name. Right. So you can tell how personal it is there. But I do wonder, you know, for Lady Gaga 6, I guess this will be her sort of sixth album next up. You know, what kind of direction does she go from here? And, you know, is she anxious to recapture that, or I guess really for all these artists, are they anxious to recapture it? Or as we've seen with somebody like Beyonce, is it, you know, now more, you know, that the commercial isn't as important as really the personal, the artistic, or the visionary? And, you know, if it does well, great. If it doesn't, you don't have to.
Yeah, and you know, maybe the most interesting thing was what came after Million Reasons, the standalone single, The Cure.
Yeah, I know that caught a lot of people by surprise too. Released that when she performed at Coachella, where it felt like, I mean, I know a lot of the pop heads and radio heads were, is she giving up on Joanne? What is this, an admission that it's not working? Is this something that she just really wanted to get out there? It seems like it was kind of the latter, but yeah, one of those things too, where the sound kind of just changed for this one single. And when she performed it at the American Music Awards, I thought that was very interesting, because the song had been out for about 8-9 months, and I was like, oh, okay, this is still the song that she wanted to get out there. So I thought that was kind of a telling choice as well.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about Greenlight, and I was saying how maybe that was the song I picked to be a huge hit that kind of missed this year. I think on the opposite, The Cure, it was a hit. It hit the top 40. It just dented the top 40 on the Hot 100, but kind of had a quick run. But I listen to pop radio and adult radio. I hear this song so much. So this is kind of the reverse. This is like the song that I think has outperformed its chart performance in 2017. You hear it enough now that it feels like it might have been a number one hit during the year. So, you know, that's one of the things about the charts. We can look at there's that sound like Prince now. There's the afterlife of how a song can perform afterwards. And it feels like this is going to be one of those songs that we'll look back on as a much bigger hit than what it really was when it was out.
Well, and I really thought this song was going to be a bigger hit when it first came out. Yeah. I really thought, okay, this is, you know, if you didn't like the Joanne, if you thought, you know, you wanted sort of some old Gaga, this was, I mean, it wasn't maybe, you know, bouncy dance, but it had a little more like pop flair to it. You could hear it performed.
Also, the Trap House sound.
And I was going to say exactly to the point where, you know, maybe it's one of those things where if the song had been out, you know, 6-12 months earlier, things could have been different. But, I mean, again, that to me probably the best example this year of a song that, you know, just missed that moving target by maybe this much, and that makes all the difference.
And, you know, we're talking about artists going 9 years between number one. So, yeah, just to go back to Katy Perry, if she didn't have huge number one hits on this album, there's the next album. You never know. Comebacks are always a song away.
You know, and that's one thing we love is, I mean, as much as people love, you know, a good misfire story in terms of, I knew you couldn't keep it up, we, as music fans, love a good comeback story as well. So we'll see. Maybe in 2018, if some of these artists, you know, get back on some of the footing that they were on before, or if there's somebody else, you know, who we think we've forgotten about, who comes back and owns the year.
Yeah, is there anyone just off the top of your head who you think could, someone maybe not is on our radar, could have a huge 2018?
Well, I'm trying to think of who's due for an album next year, and I guess there's rumors Beyonce might be out. I'm trying to think of people who like haven't put out an album since 2014, 15. There are kind of always the question marks like, okay, you know, what's up with the Iggy album? It seems like Selena Gomez probably is gearing up for one. Her last one came in 2015. Maybe Rihanna, her last one came out in 2016, the top of 2016. So it'll be about 2 years and a couple months.
Bieber. It's not been a couple years from Bieber.
2015
album.
Will be, yeah. Yeah. I think there's rumors of Ariana Grande's back working. We know basically Shawn Mendes will be out with a new one. But I'm not. Maybe Selena will be the most interesting one to watch.
But then we talk about stuff like Despacito, and it could be. If we could look a year from now what the top 10 songs of next year are, there might be artists we've never heard of on there. Cardi B, we wouldn't have known a year ago.
No, we wouldn't. I mean, I don't think anyone would guess Post Malone would be as huge as he is this year. And I mean, everything, of course, from the internet. You know, the internet gave us Black Beatles, Bad and Bougie, Gucci Gang. I mean, it's Post Malone, all these things this year. I mean, there probably are going to be a whole slew of names next year. We're going to say, what is a little, you know, little dark demon, what, you know, whoever. And we're going to say it's the hottest. You know what? I just made that up. Okay. If I had said Lil Uzi Vert last year, y'all looked at me like, hey. And now if I say Lil Uzi Vert, you know, he's the new artist of the year.
Is it Lil Dark Demon or Lil Dark Demon? I want to make sure.
Oh, it's
got to
be. Always L-I-L. All
right.
Yeah. All right. Now, of course, every week we try and bring you guys what's going on in the Hot 100, what objectively the data is showing are the hottest songs, hottest trends out there. But how about one time, Gary, just for a special segment on the year-end edition, we give our own personal takes. No charts, no numbers, no anything.
We're allowed to have opinions?
Yeah, just I know we keep them kind of repressed for a while, but forgetting whether it's a hit, a flop, an in-between, what are some of your favorite? Should we do a song? We'll talk about a song. Okay, what's your favorite song that you've heard in 2017?
Yeah, well, here's what it might kind of be funny. You know, we talk about Ed Sheeran, we talk about Taylor Swift, Cardi B, all these artists who are just the biggest pop acts of the year. But personally, I also manage our Americana Folk albums chart. So that's kind of where a lot of my tastes.
Now, I mean, probably the most like distant chart. Like,
yeah.
If you had to put the charts in like a room together, the Hot 100 is, of course, in the center. And like the Americana Folk albums chart is like way corner.
Be the hipster crowd
hanging out by
itself.
Is it even hipster?
Some of it. I
hipsters are at the vinyl albums chart.
Yeah. I mean, I actually, if we're going to get really specific, a pop folk is kind of some of the more melodic, poppy kind of folk. But that's
far away from the rhythmic section, in case you can tell.
It's one of the cool things. So every week, even the way we do these charts is that we get a list of albums that came out during the week. And we make sure sonically, Trevor, you do the R&B hip hop charts. We want to make sure that this album should be on this chart. And so I flag the folk stuff. And what I love about doing my favorite thing about managing that chart is I might just hear something for the first time that I've never heard and it might become one of my favorites. So I still remember it was a Saturday night. I got an email. Here's the new stuff to listen to for this week. I put on this album and I just instantly loved one of the songs on it. Turns out they're a hometown Boston band who I've now seen in concert. I just think they're so great. So let's give them a little plug here. It's my favorite song of the year. One of my favorite songs of really the last several years. Group out of Boston called The Novel Ideas. It's my favorite song of the year. A little clip, the song called Old Ways.
Wasn't it nice to know?
Folk stuff from you? Same thing?
No, there will be no folk things from me. Unfortunately, I guess I kind of lean towards more of the commercial. Gary and I are not going to be in the same spot in this room at all. I'm going to be a little more towards the center. Yeah, I'll wait from a distance. I have to say, and I know there's a lot of like, I guess you always kind of feel kind of lame if like a commercial hit is like your favorite song of the year because, you know, there's like, this feeling like, oh, you didn't explore deep enough or you just, you know, whatever. I'll give a couple shout outs. Some of these we have heard many times on this countdown. Some of these we're going to hear again coming up in a few seconds. We don't have to hear them right now, but I'll give a shout out to Bodak Yellow because I think it was just such a fun, like just a fun song. That to me is by far the song that if you just want to walk down the street and just mouth off some words, that is just a fun song. And that's a song I think people are, you know, regardless of what happens to Cardi's career, I mean, that song you can play in 10, 12 years, play it anywhere, play it outside. People are going to just, you know, jump in with their favorite lines, this and that. Same thing kind of with Humble. I love Humble. There's something just so cool about it, and so it's hard for me to kind of describe it.
I think it's that the track, because even I like that song too. I think it's that instrumental track that just kind
the
of
the instrumental is yes the right? instrumental seals the deal.
Yeah,
and just yeah, I think that the little yeah yeah.
I can come over to your side of the room. So yeah,
you can wave, yeah. And you explained that much better than I could. Also, I'll give a shout out to SZA, who was really one of the biggest breakthroughs of this year. Nominated for 5 Grammys, the most of any woman this year. So that's a huge thing. And for somebody who didn't quite get, I mean, she had commercial success. I mean, the album was a top 5 album, and the songs have done well on the R&B panel, but hasn't quite hit that ubiquitous crossover level. I think she's still kind of considered one of those alt, underground, you know, not really fully realized stars. So I hope she gets some more shout out too. For me, the song is The Weeknd. There's something that kind of is fun with that wordplay. She turns it on its head and makes it to where, you know, it's not a question of, you know, me versus her versus, it's just, this is how we're going to have this arrangement and this is how it's going to be. And I don't have to worry about that.
My man is your man. Her, that's her man. Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Keep him satisfied through the weekend. You like 9 to 5, I'm the weekend. Make him lose his mind every weekend. You take Wednesday, Thursday, then just send him my way. Think I got it covered for the weekend.
All right, we want to thank you guys every week for being such loyal listeners to the podcast. I mean, you guys have been tuning in. You guys give great feedback, leave nice reviews for us. Of course, tweet us your thoughts and everything. We always appreciate that. We, of course, also want to give a huge shout out not only to the listeners, but to the people who also make it happen behind the scenes. Our incredible team here that we have at Billboard.com on the video staff. We will have a couple more podcasts this year, so we're not done yet. But this will be the moment we give our thanks to so many people, including Melissa and Joey, Kate, Justin, Rebecca, and Yemi, who is here right now. Thank you, Yemi, for all your work this year.
My pleasure.
And a special shout out to our friend Ryan, who mixes this all together and makes this sound perfect and seamless for you guys each and every week. So a huge thanks to Ryan for all his work. And one more treat for you guys listening out there, as you have stuck with us every week through this year, counting down the Hot 100, running through everybody from Ed through Bruno. This has been the year of Kendrick, and of course Despacito taking over this summer, DJ Khaled
right
up there, Cardi B, Taylor Swift making her return, Post Malone, and now once again Ed Sheeran with Beyonce this time around. We want to leave you guys with the ultimate Hot 100 experience for 2017, a countdown of the entire chart for the year end from 100 to 1.
Yeah, you can follow along on Billboard.com if you want, or just listen. It's going to be about 15, 16 minutes. I think as you hear each one, I'll kind of be like, oh, that's right, they had a huge hit this year. And just all the variety, and as we said, some of the acts who came back, some of them who were new this year. This is what 2017 sounded like.
All right, so sit back, strap in, relax. Here we go. 2017, the biggest Hot 100 hits of the year from 100 all the way to 1 coming at you right now.
Can't keep my dick in my pants, ayy. My bitch don't love me no more, ayy. She kick me out on life, bro, ayy. That bitch don't wanna be friends, ayy. I give her this, she I'm mad.
Can't break me from so fucking done with you, girl. So fucking done with all the games you
Now a nigga get rich, I did it all on my own, and nobody gave me a loan.
She loves a small town boy like me. She's my ride or die.
she's been laid back in the front seat. A trapper, baby. I rap, but I own all my masters, baby. It's treasure, baby. I pull up and fuck up the traffic, baby. A savage, baby.
I know I can treat you better than he can. And any girl like you deserves a gentleman.
Love ain't simple, no love. Promise me no promises.
Shimmy, drink, swallow, la la, drink, swallow, la la.
I might can't never go to Canada, but Drake said he gon' put some screens, so let me check my calendar. I just popped me one of them what you callers, and it boosted my stamina. Now
I didn't know that I was starving till I tasted you. Don't need no butterflies when you give me the whole damn zoo.
Wrist so icy, wonder why she like me, bitch. I'm drowning in water. I just bought a Cuban, dipped it in a fountain. Everywhere that I go, it's a light show. I'm surrounded.
Young, young, dumb and broke. Young, dumb. Young, young, dumb and broke.
I'm way too good at goodbye.
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 And hit me like a hurricane. You hit me like a hurricane.
That I'm at an all-time.
I'm rolling up my broccoli.
Goddamn.
Yeah, I know your baby mama fond of me.
I don't understand why you're so cold to me. With every breath you breathe, I see there's something going on.
I get those goosebumps every time. I need the Heimlich. Throw that to the side. Yo. I get those goosebumps every time. Yeah, when you're not around.
Listen, seeing you got ritualistic, cleansing my soul of addiction for now, cause I'm falling apart.
The whole crew, shawty brave. When the money talks, what is there to say? Blow away, watch it blow away.
Run a man on that beat, run a man on that beat. Run a man on that beat, ayy. Run a man on that beat. Okay. Nah, do your dance, do your dance.
So bitch, you almost probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitched.
I just wanna rolly, rolly, rolly with a dapper ranch. I already got some designer to hold on my pants. I just want some ice on my wrist so I look better when I dance.
Tarantino movie.
Don't wanna talk it out, can we fuck it out?
I want you to hold me down, 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 down forever.
All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know.
Fucking hoes and popping pillies, man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star.
I pull that they don't like to see you win. They wanna see you in a penitentiary. I need me a little baby who gon' listen.
Tell all my hoes, rake it up, break it down, bag it up, fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up.
Ay, mama told me, ay, not to sell work.
Mama,
17, 5, same color t-shirt, white. Mama told me,
lightning and the thunder, 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 feel the thunder.
Ritmo te lleva a mover la cabeza y empezamos como es. Mi música no discrimina a nadie, así que vamos a romper.
Ain't nobody leaving, so keep dancing.
I buy a new car for the bitch,
for real.
I tear down the mall with the bitch,
for real.
You can't even talk to the bitch,
nah.
She fucking with bosses and shit,
okay.
Got you, girl.
Slow hands, like sweat dripping down.
can relate. I used to live in the peace, now it's a crib with a gay. Rolly got charms, the life was the best. Hard to let these bitches know.
Baby, there's nothing holding me back.
Location, let's focus on communicating, cause I just need the time and place to come through.
Look what you got. I'm a motherfucking star boy.
That girl is a real crowd please. Small world, all her friends know of me. Young bull living like an old geese.
He's looking into things that I'm gonna do.
That shit done changed ever since we was on. I dreamed it all.
Body like a back row, driving with my eyes closed. I know every curve like the back of my hand. Doing 15 in a third.
Drop top, smoking on cooking the hot pot.
Cooking,
fucking on your bitch, yeah, that, that, that. Cooking up dope in the crock pot, pot. We came from nothing to something, nigga.
Hey.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.